We've been in a teaching series since January on who we are as a church. We are being defined by who God says we are as a church, as a body, together with one another. We got out of a teaching series in January as being who God says we are as individuals. And that was awesome. And now we're learning how to do this thing called church together in community. So we have gone through our entire website page about who we are. This is the last one. You guys ready? Tough room. Okay, good. No one's ready. Woo! Where's Joel? Is Joel here? Give me a high-pitched woo for me. There it is. Now the crowd's pumped. Thank you, Joel. I need that just recorded. I want that as like my ringer on my phone. Just a fast repeat. Woo! 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 Anyway, we've been in a teaching series on who we are as a community, and we've gone through things like the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, who we believe and our beliefs on those as a church. We've gone through what we believe about Scripture, the Bible. We've gone through, what were the other ones that we've done? Good. We've gone through, I've taught on adventure and authenticity, community, which was last week, right? And worship is this week. What is worship? Talking to God. I'm glad you said talking. There was a part of me here as a music pastor. It's kind of funny because my role in music is a worship role. In fact, some would call me a worship pastor here. We go by the term creative arts pastor. But a lot of times when people say, we need to do a worship service, I think, well, what have we been doing this whole time? And they're like, no, I mean like all worship. Yeah? What have we been doing this whole time? No, you know what I mean. Like everything's just music worship. Yeah, I get that. So I think there's a unfair classification of what actually worship is because it's so tightly associated with music when in fact it's talking to God. It's just being with God. It's your everyday life. It's who you are. It's who you should be about if you know who Jesus is, if you're following Jesus. And that's, I think, pretty much the end, the long and the short of it. So grace and peace. Have a wonderful day. Our website, what we say about worship. In fact, the first one kind of kills me because, sadly, when people call and they want to know about Whitewater Christian Church, there's about three main questions that people want to know. Are you a charismatic church? Are you a contemporary worship style or traditional worship style? And what is your view on homosexuality? That is the litmus test that I get on the phone quite often in emails from people that are wanting to check out Whitewater Christian Church. And so when we put these things on the website, we try to help people understand who we are by giving them just a little glimpse. And so oddly enough, under worship on our website, you would read this. Worship is using culturally, I don't even know as I can say it. Culturally relevant music. Relevant music, teaching, and ministry. Make sense? We try to be in the now. We try to teach in such a way that actually applies to you and to us today. We try to do music that is before 1990. That doesn't always work. Sometimes there's really great music from 1990, right? 80s are questionable. But 90s are pretty cool. So we try to use culturally relevant music. I said it again, in ministry, and that means we try to be culturally relevant in this community and how we minister. We haven't found street corner evangelism very effective. We haven't found passing out tracts door to door very effective. So we try to do something a little different. We try to actually go serve people where they're at and love people where they're at by you know, heating their homes with firewood for those that can't afford firewood, by moving people from house to house, by giving money to people that have much need, by giving food to people that have much need, by re-roofing people's homes, because when it rains and snows, water always comes in. We try to be culturally relevant in those things, in our ministry, in our music, in our teaching, and that's it. That makes sense? That seems like an easy one, right? This is where it gets sticky. The second bullet point under worship on our website is living honest, open, and genuine expressions of God's grace with no pretense. Can I read it again? Living honest, open, and genuine expression of God's grace with no pretense. Sounds pretty cool, huh? How's everybody doing with that? Your silence is telling me you're doing awesome. Your silence tells me you're doing well. Your friend has a question? Okay. Pretense. Being fake. A false, yeah, almost a putting on of airs, I guess, so to speak. Would that work? A false front. Not to be confused with Agnostic Front, which is an awesome band. Yeah, someone else knows them. Okay, all right. So like Barbie? Sure. Yeah. No, I get what you're saying. Like what Barbie represents is not a true representation. Yeah. Yeah. I don't have notes except for on my phone, and my phone keeps shutting off, which is awesome. So living honest, open, and genuine expressions of God's grace with no pretense. And then the last one is surrendering ourselves, no matter where we are, to God's love. Surrendering ourselves, no matter where we are, to God's love. Those are the things that we think worship is, are. Grammatical Nazis, I apologize. So we put these things down, but what does that mean? What does that? How does that even play out? What does that look like? And one of the places you see worship being mentioned is by Paul. You guys know who Paul is. We talk about Paul quite often. Not Montoya, if he's in the room. Although we like to talk about him, too. He's a pretty cool guy. But Paul is writing a letter to the Romans. And the Romans are the people that the Jews brought Jesus to and said, kill him for us. Convict him. Find fault in him. And so the Jews said, well, okay. And so these are people that are not Jews, that are not the Israelite nation, that are not anywhere close to who God is or what God is. And Paul writes this letter to this church that is in Rome, to these Romans. Okay? And Paul is a disciple of Jesus. Paul is a disciple of him. Okay? So Paul in Romans 12, it's in the New Testament in your Bible. Does everybody have a Bible? If you need a Bible, we would love to give you a Bible. We have them on the table, I believe, outside. And then we also have, if you got a cell phone, the cell phone app YouVersion is an awesome app to get. You can get a free Bible there, and actually you can download this Bible onto your phone, so if you don't have Wi-Fi service, you can actually still access the Word. So anyway, Romans 12 is in the New Testament. It means it's just in the back of your Bible. So Romans 12 says this, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, I'll throw that in there, how's that sound? In view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. He goes on to say, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Can I read it again? Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I often find that when I teach, prior to my teaching, God throws me into all these, at the time they seem really stupid situations. At the time they seem really strange and odd. And then after I go through these situations, then I go to craft a teaching and put a teaching together. And God says, this is why you had to go through that. This is why you had to have this conversation with this person. This is why you had to endure whatever you had to endure. And so, interestingly enough, this last week, a good friend of mine called me, and he just said, I am tired. I'm tired of paying the price. And I said, well, what do you mean you're tired of paying the price? And he said, I'm tired of paying the price because it feels like all I do is give, 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 and I don't get anything back. And that everything that I want for my life is being put on hold, is being put on the back burner, is not going where I want it to, because God is taking it where he wants it to go, and it doesn't line up with my vision for myself. And I'm smiling on the other end because I see this guy being submissive, and I see this guy really taking God serious at what he's asking us, all of us, to do. And the only way I'm able to get up here and speak about anything is because I continue to go toe-to-toe with God and get my rump handed to me spiritually all the time. Because I go to God a lot of times with my selfishness. I go to God a lot of times with what, here's my laundry list of things that I want you to accomplish in my life, God, and here's how I want you to do it. And God says, that's not at all how I'm going to work in you. But it's funny because he doesn't really tell me that up front necessarily. He kind of leaves me hanging a little bit sometimes. And he makes me go through some of these trials and makes me go through some of these really tough things in life. And it makes me edgy, it makes me uncomfortable. And then, what's interesting is as I come out of these things, as I come out of these areas of life that I've handed over and I've laid down, I see the beauty of what God has wanted to do in me in those things. Well, what's funny is God doesn't say, just lay these individual things down. He doesn't say, give me these things as you will, one at a time, maybe none at a time. It says our spiritual act of worship in Romans here is to what? Offer your bodies, my body, as a living sacrifice. And as we talked about last week and a few weeks ago, that it's easy to get complacent. It's easy to, for some reason, miss what Christianity is all about. It's easy to miss what God is all about. And we live comfortable and safe. And somehow we even distort this passage of being sacrifices, being living sacrifices, daily dying, daily submitting to what God is asking us to do. And we miss it. And so we keep thinking that we need to be making sacrifices instead of being sacrifices. We miss it thinking, well, maybe if I go to church this Sunday, I'll be covered for a little while. We miss it by thinking, well, maybe if I drop a dollar or two in the plate this week, God will love me a little more. Maybe I'll find a 20 on the street, because that's how God works. We miss the boat. We misunderstand, we distort, we twist. And God is calling us, calling me, calling you to be living sacrifices day in, day out. He's calling us to live honest, open, and genuine expressions of God's grace with no pretense. Has any of you experienced God's grace? What if you, thank you. What if you lived that out in your life every day with those around you? Would it be difficult? Keep playing with my mustache, and I'm thinking of what you tell me all the time. And you're thinking it too, aren't you? See, self-conscious. To live that expression of God's grace every day with everyone you come in contact. Okay, well, it may be easy for people in your work. How about your family? How about your crazy in-laws? Anybody got those? Let me just cover the mic.
Mine does too.
I didn't want that on the recording. But if you're living God's grace out in your family, what's going to happen in your family? Is it going to be perfect? No. Is it going to be everything you want it to be? No. Will they hate you for it? Possibly. Let's be real. Jesus lived out God's grace every day, and what happened to him? So there's a danger element of being that grace, isn't there? There's an adventure element of being that grace, of living life with no pretense, of living in an authentic way. And we rarely see that as worship. Some days we're able to turn on the grace switch easier than others. Some days we're able to knock it out of the park in the grace department, and other days, no, we're seething trolls. I had to define that. It was awesome. I taught, and someone texted me after the teaching and said, "Can you define what you mean by seething troll?" And I smiled. So I Googled it. It wasn't on Google for whatever reason. Not even on Urban Dictionary. I tried, though. But we rarely think of those times as an act of worship. We rarely think of that as something that pleases God. A lot of times we don't even think of prayer as something that pleases God or as a form of worship, but what is prayer in its basic function is talking to God. And what we do is we twist that even and say, I'll talk to God when I need something. I'll talk to God when my life is in the crapper. I'll talk to God when I decide I'll talk to God. And somehow we just miss Scripture. We miss what these words are, what these words mean, what worship is, what Christianity is. And we make it this lesser form when it's supposed to be something incredibly awesome, incredibly life-changing, incredibly powerful, incredibly empowering, incredibly freeing. We miss and we settle for something less than in our worship. Now, praying can happen anywhere. It can happen when you're counting your money and talking to God, or going to the bathroom, if you're more familiar with that phrase. It can happen in the shower. It can happen in the car. There have been many times on my motorcycle when I'm on long trips that I encounter God most in my talking. And big bikers riding down the interstate crying, people are a little more, even more scared of, because they think they're maybe suicidal or postal or just crazy. I really don't know. But this prayer life can happen anywhere. This prayer life can be anywhere. But that's just one element of what worship actually is. Worship is, what is it? Talking to God, being with God. What does Paul say worship is? Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Your body, he's not just after, he's after your entire life. He's after your mind, he's after your soul, he's after your spirit. He's after everything you're about. He's after you, his creation. And if he's after you, sounds kind of scary, doesn't it? It's a good thing. It's a good thing. But if he's after you, and you know he's after you this morning, what are you waiting for? This wasn't even going to be an altar call message. This wasn't even going to be a come to Jesus moment, but it may turn out that way for you. But if God's after you to become what he's asking you to become, what are you waiting for? He wants it all. It took me from 11 years old to 28 years old to figure this out, or to even begin to figure this out, and what it looks like and how it plays out in your life. And this act of worship, yesterday it was incredible. I was behind these two white trash guys. I was a part of this train of white trash guys. Is that a bad term, Sheldon? Can I use that? Come on, buddy. My buddy Sheldon, who was Whitewater, I think he still is Whitewater, I'll just say that. He bleeds Whitewater. He's from Minnesota. He actually showed up an hour early today. So for those of you that are super late, you got no excuse. He came from Minnesota, all right? It was just incredible, but I was following these two guys, and we're towing this car with a chain and a big honky-tonk truck, and I'm in the back, and it just hit me as we're riding. God, this is incredible. You've put me in relationship with these guys whom I didn't know. You continue to put me in relationship with these people that are chasing after you and trying to find you and trying to find your heart. And on any given day, they are this living sacrifice. And on any given day, they are chasing after you. But there's these days when they're not and they're having problems. And we call one another and we talk about some of this stuff. We message one another. We openly express, you know, that sometimes this thing called Christianity is a difficult thing to understand, because when God starts messing in your life, chances are change is going to have to happen in you. And so change is hard. But I'm driving in this train of white trash. I'm one of them, all right? I'm the whitest of trash. And I'm just smiling, and I'm just praising God. Thank you for this relationship. I didn't cry, because if they would have looked in the rearview mirror, they may have saw me. But I wanted to. It was just a beautiful moment. And it's because we were able to worship together in community. We're able to worship together in community in the good times. We're able to worship together in community in the bad times. We're able to worship together in community on Sunday mornings. But this isn't the only place that it happens. It needs to happen wherever you're at, whatever community you are in outside of this community. So that's what worship is, guys. Worship is this living sacrifice. Worship is adventure, authenticity, community. Worship is knowing who God is and what Jesus did for you and owning that and taking everything that has been taught and living that out as an expression of your obedience. That's worship. Worship is a beautiful thing. Worship, true worship is a very freeing thing. This letter that was written to the Romans, Paul says earlier, before he says therefore in verse 12, or in chapter 12 of Romans, in chapter 11, he's talking about, all of this is spurred, he's talking about the Israelite nation and how they missed it. They missed it. But the beauty about God is he doesn't just want a people group. He doesn't want just an ethnicity. He doesn't want just a country. He wants everybody because he's created everybody. And so Paul is giving this message, and he puts it in this term in Romans 11:15. He says, for their rejection, he's talking about the Israelite nation, how they've continued to be chased by God and how they continue to run away from God and how God continually redeems these people over and over and over. And he says, for their rejection brought reconciliation to the world. For if their rejection brought reconciliation into the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? And so your acceptance of how you choose to live out your Christian life, of how you choose to follow Jesus, is going to determine how your worship looks. For a long time in my faith, I accepted a very tame Christianity. I accepted a very tame Jesus. I accepted a very judgmental Jesus. I accepted a very harsh Jesus until I started following him. Until I started becoming this living sacrifice day in, day out. And then you watch your life just flip. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you are experiencing that right now. Some of you have experienced it. Some of you have experienced it and are experiencing it again. Some of you need to experience it for the first time. And so together in community, together as we experience adventure with one another, with those that we encounter everywhere, as we live out in authenticity, our worship's going to look pretty awesome. Our worship's going to look pretty honest, pretty raw. And people will start to take notice. People will start seeing that, and they won't see us. They're going to see what God is doing through and in us. That's what you're signing up for. I just made a kid cry. He doesn't like what I'm talking about. But that's what you're signing up for, and make no mistake, it is the most incredible, beautiful, awesome thing that you can do. Knowing who your Creator is. Devoting your life as a living sacrifice. That is your spiritual act of worship. So God, we love you, and we want to quit playing games here at Whitewater. We want to quit playing games in our lives. We want to quit playing games with you. God, where we only give you part of who we are, or certain areas. God, this living sacrifice that you've called us to be, this living sacrifice that Paul talks about, is not out of ignorance or out of just saying the right words, but it's out of a life that he lived in total reckless abandon to your call, to your call of going and telling the world about what Jesus did for us. God, how he paid the price, how he was the ultimate sacrifice for us, that we don't have to experience death. but that we can experience life in the here and now, and as a result of us experiencing that life, God, that everybody around us can experience that same life. God, that every people group, that every nation, that every tongue, tribe, God, you want it all because you've created it all. And so I pray that these games that we can play with you stop. God, and that our lives would just be a living sacrifice, and that our worship would just become an incredibly beautiful thing to you. And that our worship wouldn't just be here on a Sunday morning or a song, even though that's all a part of what worship can be and is. But God, it's so much further beyond any of that. So God, I trust you to speak to everybody's heart this morning. God, for those questioning who you are and seeing who you are and just wanting to know more about you, God, I pray that their ears continue to be open and that when they hear from you, their obedience follows. God, I pray for those of us that continue to hear from you, that claim to know who you are, but continue to just live in disobedience. God, I pray that cycle stops this morning. God, may we be a community that worships you together in adventure, through adventure and authenticity, and through community. Community that gathers around your word, community that gathers around your word with a desire to be obedient. God, you are love, and you love us. And we thank you for that love. We thank you for the sacrifice of what Jesus did, God, and paying the price for us so that we might know you rightly. God, we thank you for opening that door to us and not just an Israelite nation, but to your entire creation. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer yourselves, your bodies, as living sacrifices. Holy and pleasing to God, this is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. God, I pray that over our people here at Whitewater. I pray that over the people here in Laramie. It's in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.